Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we prepare to celebrate the great feast of the Ascension of the Lord Jesus, His Ascension into heaven. We're going to read His words to His disciples. Listen to them. As we read through these readings, listen to them because they are addressed to you as well. We're going to find those particularly in the Gospel for today, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. But the first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verses 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting them, he joined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you heard me speak. He told them, wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now you and I, when we were baptized, received the Holy Spirit. What have you done with the life of the Holy Spirit living in you? When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. Can you imagine? He just starts rising, and he says to them, it's not for you to know the seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's for you, as well as for the first disciples. It's for you. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. Must have been quite startling, wouldn't you think? And they said, men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. He will return. Brothers and sisters, that's true for us today. He will return. But he gave us, as he ascended, he will give us his Holy Spirit. And that was to come in a few days. He would send his Holy Spirit upon them. The Holy Spirit is given to you in the sacrament of confirmation by your baptism. The Holy Spirit is within you. But in confirmation, the Holy Spirit, now when you reach a certain maturity, the Holy Spirit can impart so many gifts for you to spread the gospel and to care for the sick and to feed the hungry. He can supply you that your time on this earth may be so fruitful for the kingdom. Don't put the Holy Spirit in cold storage. And if you have, take him out. Take him out. Because God wants to show you what he wants to do in your life and how he wants to use you for the glory of God. Psalm 47 tells us God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. What that reception into heaven must have been like for Jesus as he rises according to the will of the Father and he's taken up into heaven. He just ascends into heaven. What a glorious celebration that must have been and is. It goes on for all eternity. There's no past or future. It is. We live in the fullness of life when we're in heaven. Don't you often think about heaven
Don't you think about what it will be like for you?
Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you, this is for you, a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe? In accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead, and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath Christ's feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Take that passage from Ephesians, chapter 1, 17 to 23. Read it out loud. Declare it. It's the truth. It's who Jesus is. It's what God the Father has done for him in Christ. And we celebrate because all things have been put under his authority. He's head over all things to the church, which is his body. He is the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Jesus the Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us, who reveals the Father to us. Draw near. Feed on his word. Feed on his word. The gospel, if I have time, I'm going back to another. There's an optional reading. If I have time, I'll go back to it. But I want to turn right now to the gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 46 to 53. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." It's the Holy Spirit. "So stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit intimately connected with each one of our lives. And sometimes we go about as though we have no connection at all. Ask for faith. Ask for hope. God will give those gifts when we cry out to him. And it says here, "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God." They knew that God was faithful. Yes, they must have missed him. But they came together. What did they do when you're not sure? Well, what's our next step? You come together and they prayed. They prayed in that upper room. They prayed with Mary for all those days prior. Between Ascension and Pentecost, they prayed. Brothers and sisters, all of us need to pray. And where you can gather together with like-minded people or willing people, pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit come upon us. Pray that the Word of God be enlivened for us. Say, "Lord, give me this grace. I haven't used this grace. I've let it lie dormant. Please give me all that I need." For he ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. And brothers and sisters, he has sent his Holy Spirit to lead us right into the arms of the Father and of himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going. So the ascension, while God leaves us in earthly form, he's not leaving us. He's giving us of his own Spirit. And the disciples, right after the ascension, they go together and they pray and they seek him. Remember what he said. They return to Jerusalem. That's what he said. "I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." All of us need to do that. before we're beginning any project, any work for the Lord. In fact, anything, even in the secular world, those of us who are Christian should commend it to the Lord and ask the Lord, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Stay in the city until you know God's blessing. Stay in the city until you have the wisdom. Don't go running off. Well, it takes time. Yes, it takes time. But it bears infinite fruit. And so the disciples, notice here, he blessed them, he parted from them, and they did him homage. They must have bowed down and worshiped there. In the sense, having seen the gates of heaven open, not fully, but the beginnings of it, and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. That's what our churches need to do. We need to be in the Lord's temple, praising him, begging him, calling out to him for help, repenting of our sin. Repenting of our sin offers great praise to God because he can inhabit us then. He can dwell with us. He can be for us what we need. And we need far more than we understand. I just want to share with you a certain section here from the letter to the Hebrews, which was the optional reading for the Ascension Mass. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one. He entered into heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on your behalf and my behalf. He has gone before us. He intercedes for us. He's the mediator for us. He is our Savior. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. But now once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that men and women die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Brothers and sisters, as the Lord ascends into heaven, as you celebrate that feast, are you standing there looking up? Are you eagerly awaiting him? Because he wants to come to you. He wants to inspire you, to feed you, to lead you. So let us approach, as the scripture says, with a sincere heart and in absolute trust, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope, for he who made the promise is trustworthy. Brothers and sisters, take this seriously. How many times have you heard me say, you're not celebrating a past event. You're celebrating a living reality. Enter in with the disciples. Reread those readings for today. Enter in and follow him with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.